Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Bears-Packers week on The Score with the drama building for Saturday Night Fight. It doesn't get any bigger than this. This is where Chicago comes to talk first-place Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Here with Carmen Vitale from Fox Sports.
I am joined now by Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports NFL reporter.
Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports.
Joining us, it is the NFC North writer at foxsports.com. It's Carmen Vitale. How are you doing, Carmen? Great to have you.
Welcome to a special edition of the Chicago Football Show. I'm Scott Baer alongside Carmen Vitale.
What I saw when I was there, it was a across-the-board belief from players to coaches, and I have a few friends on that staff, too, that were like, we know we got this.
And we know we get to talk to Carmen Vitale. She is always fun when she is in studio, and that is where she joins us here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. She is at Carmi V on X. She is a Fox Sports Radio host and a hosted analyst for Marquee Sports Network. And we love talking football with you. Welcome
Thanks.
In, Carmen.
Marshall mentioned that he was glad to have my energy, but this is my energy, is my Diet Coke. This is where my energy comes from.
Whatever it takes.
It's like whatever I cracked it as soon as I got in here. I'm like, I'm bringing one. I cracked it. We're good.
Man, somebody who mentioned that you've heard the phrase running around about the Diet Coke being
a fridge cigarette.
Yes.
Absolutely. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. Never taken a drag. But good God, this is my version.
Wait. Explain this to me.
I have taken a drag off a cigarette. And I have smoked a cigarette or two, and I will take the Diet Coke. I love Diet Coke.
Explain the Diet Coke.
I don't drink it all the time though, because only on every
people,
other week.
People drink Diet Coke or like take Diet Coke breaks the way that people take like smoke breaks. So people are calling them fridge cigarettes.
So they have like a whole six pack of Diet Coke a day?
I hope not. But some people probably do.
You know, some people smoke a pack a day, right?
Right.
It does take the edge off.
It does. Without fail, I have like a lull at like 2 p.m. every day. And it's just like, I go into the fridge and I grab a Diet Coke. And especially now, like they've got the holiday cans. It's just instant perk up.
It's funny because you say take the edge off. And immediately my first thought was, I wonder if Ben Johnson has had a Diet Coke in the last however many years. And I can't picture Ben Johnson trying to take the edge off with a Diet Coke.
You know what?
People have a lot of hot takes about it.
I'm going to do some digging on this because we know Dan Campbell's coffee order, the espresso order, so well. But I'm like, is Ben just the type of psycho that doesn't need outside like stimulation?
Right.
Like, is he one of those coaches that doesn't like drink caffeine or like what? Like, I need to get to the bottom of this. That is my mission.
You know, honestly, if he doesn't drink caffeine, I'm more disturbed.
I think I'm going to be way more surprised if he does, because I think he is that kind of sicko. Compliment. Like,
sicko.
Dude, if he's running on nothing but like his own.
Yeah, dude.
You've seen his game face. You've seen his sideline face. You know what it is.
Everybody that has ever played for him or worked with him has just told me, they're like, yeah, he's a psycho.
He's different. Even the players
know. It's a compliment.
No, 100%. Like, when I say psycho, when I say sicko, I mean compliment.
Sicko's committee on Twitter is a good example.
Absolutely. No. You need your head coach to be an absolute psycho / sicko. Think of all the best head coaches in the league. They're all psychos and sickos.
I'm crazy. Crazy for football.
Like, Tony Dungy wasn't a psycho sicko, right? Like,
No, but he's not coaching right now.
Do you... Oh, you're saying in this era?
In this era.
Who's like the most calm, non-psycho, non-sicko head coach you can think of?
Sean McVay? Or is he Todd just Bowles. Secretly...
Oh, I think Sean McVay with his photographic memory and everything
like,
else.
No, Sean's like this like little... Like, he just vibrates at a different level constantly. He's not...
He's at a different frequency.
He is at a different frequency.
Todd Bowles, yeah.
Todd Bowles is really, he's very calm.
He seems reasonable.
Did you see here, like after they blew that lead the other night?
That was the first time I've ever seen him do that publicly.
But he even when he was doing that, he was still in a calm state as he was explaining how it was unacceptable that his team blew the lead.
He will yell. I've heard him yell at players, but like his go-to is like one-line insults.
Yeah.
So he's not like, he's never really like yelling his head off
That in common.
Yeah. The one-liners, just like the little zingers. If you
is it a zinger if you die from it?
Right. Like just make it devastating. It just needs to be devastating.
Snipes. I can attest.
Oh, come on. I love you. Yeah.
I love you too. But I also know like you're good at what you do in that respect. So, you know, I'm complimenting you.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah. Diet Coke taking the edge off is top notch. I just got like a happy feeling about it.
Right? Like it's something to look forward to. And then like when you get a particularly crispy can of Diet Coke, it's just...
Or the little glass bottle at Gibson's.
Well, I mean, the ultimate is fountain Diet Coke, more specifically McDonald's Diet Coke. That's the best one.
I guess we got to go on a taste test. And listen, I don't discriminate. I love Diet Dr. Pepper. I love Olipop. I love a lot of sodas.
No, but I'm a diet. I'm like, I like sparkling water, like flavored sparkling water. The only pop I drink is
Carmen. I'm gonna make a statement, and I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree with the statement.
Okay.
Because you're the NFC North, like that's what you do.
Okay.
So this is an NFC North matchup we have coming on Saturday night. Here's your statement. It is inexcusable if the Bears lose this game at home to the Packers. Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I disagree.
Okay.
Listen,
people talk about Super Bowls, and I'm like, well, then if it's a Super Bowl run, you can't be losing at home to the Packers in Week 15.
Are we on a Super Bowl run
or 16? Sorry.
Like, are the Bears on a Super Bowl run? Are they trying? Like, I mean, I know that everybody's trying for the Super Bowl, right? But like,
that's the
goal. Obviously, it's the goal. But is that the goal right now, this year? Like, that's my thing where I'm like, I don't think they're ready for that. I still don't think they're ready for that. I get that they went out and they did what they were supposed to do against the Browns. That is not a good team.
I agree.
And I need to see you do that against a better team for me to trust you in the postseason. Now, if they do go out and they win against the Packers and they, like, they have a couple really tough games to end the season, right? Like, San Francisco looks great. You got the Lions who, even if they have nothing to play for at that point, are going to give you hell. So like, if they get through all of that and handle business, like I'll eat my words a little bit, but I just don't think that they're ready for it yet. And the Packers on the other, like you have to think about what the team coming in, like the expectations on the team coming in. The Packers do and have had Super Bowl aspirations this entire year. And they just went through losing their best player. One of their best players. Jordan Love's up there too, obviously.
Micah Parsons is better than Jordan Love. But it's their best player.
He's arguably the best defender.
Even arguably most important player can be, because they can still do things with Jordan Love, even though they don't have Micah Parsons. But
their
as far
most
as best
talented player,
yeah. Yeah,
it's
Micah. Like that's why I like
yeah.
that's why
I got what you're saying.
Yeah,
the quarterback.
Yeah. Like you can survive the absence of Micah Parsons, where I don't think you could survive the absence of Jordan Love. But yeah, like if you're like Micah Parsons is the best at his position or one of the best at his position in the league. I mean, I don't want to discount obviously what Myles Garrett is doing currently. but this is a team that has had Super Bowl aspirations this entire year. As soon as they signed Micah Parsons, they were one of the odds on favorites to come out of the NFC. So they're coming in and this game means so much, which is so cool. But it means so much to both of these teams. But I was just actually on a Packers podcast talking about this, where I think it means a little bit more to the Packers.
Yeah, more pressure on the Packers.
There's
for
way
sure.
more pressure on the Packers. Because from a national perspective, like I get that people have expectations of the Bears now because they've seen, hey, this is working. Like this looks good. But from a national perspective, nobody has expectations of the Bears right now, this season.
I think it has changed though. And that's kind of, that's the equation in this that I think matters is the variables changed. I think to myself, at what point did this team stop playing with house money or start You know, you can look at it both ways. Sure. Mark Grody says, my expectations for this team has changed. I say the Bears are playing with house money because now it is about resetting your goals and being able to say a loss to the Packers at home is unacceptable.
Yeah,
like you go to Halas Hall, Carmen, you know, at least to the players, it feels like this is very much something on the agenda where they're saying like this would be unacceptable if it doesn't happen on Saturday night.
It changed when Ben Johnson took his shirt off, if we're being honest.
I mean, but that's it. It's, I think we all need to ask ourselves that.
Thank you, the Bears offensive line.
Right.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But also to
the Avengers. Thank you to the Avengers.
Yes, to the Avengers. And shouldn't we be thanking them anyway?
We should. We always should.
But maybe everybody needs to ask themselves that. At what point did the expectations change for you? And then does that mean that anything else that they do this year is golden and you're fine with whatever outcome? Or are you like, I want more, more, like the gift of Kylo Ren?
So the way I look at it, they surpassed all the pop culture references, the superheroes, fantasy.
And why did I go to Kylo Ren? Well, if you listen to the end of 5 on it, you'll kind of understand my inspirations.
Where I go with this is they surpassed my expectations when they won 9 games, because I had them winning 8 to 9 games this season. And I was going to consider that a success. And it was. It is. This is unequivocally a successful season in Ben Johnson's first year. Full stop. Where I'm more along the lines with you, Layla, where I'm like, hey, now they're just playing with house money because I'm not expecting any more this season in regards to like going on a run, winning a Super Bowl, this, that, the other. And I'll tell you the other aspect of this that makes it like when I judge like expectations and pressure and this, that, the other, I'm like, if they don't reach whatever expectation they have now, are people going to lose their jobs? And with the Chicago Bears, no one is losing their job after this season, that they are so much further ahead of where they were supposed to be at the end of this season already. No one is in danger of losing their job. And you can't say that for teams like the Packers, whether that's a position coach, a coordinator, even the head coach. I mean, there was a time period where we were discussing how viable Matt LaFleur's future was in Green Bay in the middle of this season when they were going through a slump. And so, like, that's kind of how I gauge the true expectations of teams and how much pressure they're under is somebody going to lose a job?
Carmen Vitale joining us here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. She covers the NFC North. You can catch her work on that football podcast that we love on Marquee. I watch it in television form just to let you know how I consume the product on the Marquee app. And here's my only thing about the whole playing with house money. Here's why they're not, in my opinion, playing with house money. Mm. It's because we know what injuries look like season to season in the NFL. We know what opportunities and windows look like season to season in the NFL. This year's window will not be the same as next year's window.
It's true.
Couple of things. Number one, they're on a last place schedule, which is how they got to this point in part. They faced a lot of quarterbacks who were not starting quarterbacks on their own teams, and that's how they've gotten to this point. And now, because of the Micah Parsons injury and because of the path to the Super Bowl and the fact that it may very well have to go through Chicago, at least until you get to the NFC Championship game, because if they win the North, they're going to be the 2 seed at least. That's just guaranteed because of who's leading the other divisions. I think you have to look at this window and say it's not house money because you may not have this easy of a path as far as playoffs go in the next couple of years.
No, and I think that's a completely valid point where you're like, I mean, it's interesting though because you don't necessarily see teams go worst to first very often or more often when they do have kind of a clear path to do that. What's interesting about like the NFC particularly in getting out of the NFC is how tight it is at the top right now. And the teams that you're going to have to get past to get there. And that's where I'm looking at it. Like they haven't, like drawing on the experience I've had in Super Bowl runs, it's not the team that had it the easiest. It's the team that overcame the most. So it's like when you've been tested down the line and you've faced some type of adversity, whether it be injury, whether it be a really tough schedule, something like that, so that by the time you get to the playoffs, you are battle tested. And that's not something that I can say with confidence of the Bears.
But you will be able to in 3 weeks because at just because and of the then, last three opponents.
And that's why I said, like, I'll eat my words a little bit, because, like, if you get through this stretch and you win all, if you win out as the Chicago Bears.
Two out of three. Let's say they beat Green Bay, they lose to San Francisco, and they beat Detroit, or vice versa. Either way, if you win two out of these three games, I feel like you can say, hey, they played four out of the last five games against top-notch competition, and they were able to win three of the four games. I think you have to say, and especially if the games have to be here at Soldier Field in that weather.
Yeah.
In that weather.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the Rams come, too.
They would not like that at all. And I don't think the Seahawks or the Niners or any of the other teams would like that at all. And I love in the NFL, another reason why the window's open right now, you reseed. So if there's upsets, it always benefits you if you're a higher seed.
Well, I mean, and what we're really trying to say here is the NFC North, or the NFC South, rather, is a mess. That's what we're really trying to say.
That's true. Like, we're not, unfortunate, which is so sad, because at one point, you know, week five, it was like Baker is the MVP candidate.
What happened?
And, like, they suffered quite a bit of injuries, and I don't know. That team does not seem like they're playing together. The players don't seem like they're really, like, they're grasping the scheme. I mean, you just see, like, it's a little bit short of, like, guys running into each other in coverage. Like, that's happened for them, or they've had two guys over the same. It's not been cohesive in Tampa.
No, it has not. But that whole division is tricky.
Well, right now, it might not even be Tampa's division, because it's the Panthers here. Here come the Panthers.
Well, and speaking of that, there's something that I wanted to submit to the class. Mm. It is a comment from the former quarterback that we know in the NFC North and also played in the NFC East. And now he's in the NFC South because Kirk Cousins knows how to get paid.
He sure does.
And as much as
shout out Mike McCartney, his agent.
I mean, seriously. But as much as we joke about it, he basically told people why, and I want you to listen to what he had to say. He took us all to school, and I think it was a really good lesson. So let's listen to that and examine it next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Nice poll, Tyler Farengold. And we're in studio with Carmen Vitale, kind enough to join us today for the 1 o'clock hour. Carmen of Fox Sports Radio and Marquee Sports Network. We love having her in.
Love being here.
And Carmen has covered the NFC North for many years. That includes one Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins is originally from Barrington. I think that's always nice to point out too.
He was at Michigan State while my best friend was at Michigan State. So I've actually seen him play in college.
Well, Kirk Cousins was asked about breaking down a defense, and Lawrence Holmes likes to use the term sexy football. And this is sexy football.
This is very sexy.
This week's conversation about progression versus coverage reads and all that.
No, but I'd love to get into it. I can get on this soapbox if you want me to. Like, I can get on this.
This is what we're...
Because I lived the transfer. I lived the jump.
Right.
So I came into the league, even at Michigan State, it was you see coverage and you pick a side and you basically take five eligibles down to two, down to your check down. And so you cut the field in half, and it was, I got single high, I'm going, you know, outside the red line to inside to my back. And you're really only thinking about three eligibles, because the other two over here were meant for split safety, and I got single high. And so it kind of protected you. And then sometimes you would alert that other side if you got pressure. So you'd be like, I'm working this route versus split safety or pressure. If I get single high, no pressure, then I work the other side. So that was everything was, you know, single high, split safety, pressure, quarters, off, bump, man zone, all these things. But what happened was defenses got so good at disguising it. that I would be so stressed going into games, going, the whole game plan is built on, is it single high or split safety? And I can't see if it's single high or split safety. Like, these defenses are just making it muddy until I'm three steps into my drop. So it's coaches started to realize, like, if we ask the quarterback to do that, it's going to be really hard, because defenses know that's the game we're playing. They're not going to let us play it. So then it started to become, let's just give you pure progressions, and let's just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then, you know, that has its pros and cons. I remember when Kevin O'Connell was bringing a lot of pure progression reads back to him with me from L.A. back to Minnesota. It was like, whoa, like, I got to get back to the dagger backside after already exhausting this progression. Like, that's a lot. I mean, my mind, like, I'm used to kind of simplifying it and cutting the field in half. So, you know, had to kind of work through that and get to where that was more natural. And then there's a lot of positives of it, too, where you're not stressing as much during the week about, what if I can't see coverage? Because you say, well, it's okay, I don't have to see coverage. You know, seeing it can be a benefit, but it's more after the snap, where are they going, and I can just kind of progress through. But there's no doubt, with the way the pass rush is, if you truly try to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're going to get sack fumbled a lot. So there's still a level of, yeah, it's pure progression, but, like, I got to rule him out pretty quick here so I can get to the backside, because that guy's coming around the hump quick.
If you don't love that, ugh, and you claim you love football, you don't really love football.
You don't really love football. I wish, none of this is necessarily groundbreaking. If you've studied the game, you understand the game, all that other stuff. What is groundbreaking is having a quarterback take the time standing up there to educate the media, and by, you know, indirectly the fans.
By proxy, yeah.
I love it. Like, the fact that he's like, I want to get into this. I love it.
Yeah, he's like, I can stand up on my soapbox. Do you want me to? And we're like, yes!
Yes! Please do that more often.
And on honestly,
I always told coaches that I worked with or whatever, where I was like, if you give people just a morsel, A, it means that you don't have to talk about anything else that they're asking you. And B, like, you will have such people will look at you so favorably, and you'll get smarter coverage. Like, you, if you're educating people on what this all means, and like, and giving them the tools to understand what they're looking at. I mean, this was my biggest thing when I started to learn the game, which I was very fortunate enough to learn directly from NFL coaches, which was, like, I was coming at it from a sense of, like, I want to know whose fault it is so I can essentially protect people. Because, I, you know, working for a team, you're not allowed to be super critical. But it's like, all right, if I understand that so-and-so was, you know, wanted safety help over top and he didn't get that, but it looks like he got burned, like, then you can kind of soften the blow a lot, or you can it just makes you a smarter fan, and it makes you a better evaluator of football. And I think it also gives you an appreciation for everything that's going on in these guys' heads. And as they're playing.
I'm sorry to have to cut this short, because I would love to talk about this more.
Oh, we got that injury report, don't we?
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Everybody, the Bears have ruled Luther Burden, mm-hmm, Roma Dunze, and Amen Abamiga out for the game against the Packers.
That seems bad.
I was worried about the Luther Burden.
I think Amen we kind of expected.
Yeah.
Roma Dunze out. At least they made that decision now and not later. And yes, Luther Burden is out. Wow. Okay.
So, other things that are interesting here, the DeAndre Swift questionable. I mean, should I be reading too much into that? Or
no, I think they've talked about how they've had to manage his groin injury all year, and there are times where he's looked healthier than others. So I would feel like him being listed as questionable is the right thing to say, that you're concerned about it. Tremaine Edmonds was a full participant in practice. He is listed as questionable. So that's encouraging news for the defense. Cole Kmet, listed as a full participant in practice, but he is also questionable.
And then also defensive lineman Joe Triantrioinka, he missed another practice because he's traveling, because I believe he's expecting the birth of his child. So
yes, he's
as long as that child comes before Saturday, aka I guess tomorrow, he should be ready to go in theory, right?
I mean,
yeah,
they need that depth. I'm just saying that
I'm going to leave the child rearing up to the professionals,
yes,
of which I am not one. So I don't know how much time that needs to be.
That's such a hard thing, too. Like, I have friends that, you know, have professional athlete partners, and it's like everybody talks about like, oh, cool, he was there for the birth of the child, and then it's like, yeah, well, the next day he had to be back playing. And just like she's still in the hospital, like trying to manage all of this. But he's expecting a baby. So
baby boy, I believe is what he said. Yeah. And so look,
for the record, he did tell Ryan Poles about it.
From jump.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From jump. But I'm processing the Luther Burden III portion of this.
Yeah, that's, I will say all the guys that are questionable, the reason that it's so incredibly important what Ben Johnson has instilled in the culture here of like being physical and tough and whatever is because like when I see a Lions injury report and I see anybody questionable on there, I'm like, they're playing. And like, it's getting to the point with the Bears too, where I'm like, if you're questionable, you're playing.
Except for when guys are immediately activated. Except off of the practice
that,
window.
We were all in the press the box on Sunday. Like, wait, we saw Rome on the field. He was catching passes from Caleb in pregame. What?
There's been too many examples of bad things. So you're talking about the Jalen Johnson being questionable after being limited practice on a Friday.
I was talking about this. I know.
Yes.
Both were disgusting.
Yes.
They're both very zig versus zag situations. And you're like, I don't know what, there's no precedent here because this is our first year dealing with Ben Johnson and injuries. And so the Kyler Gordon scratch just before the game when you've already turned in your final roster. And then the very next week, Roma Dunze, same thing.
Well, and also keep in mind, to that end, there was the issue of TJ Edwards thought he was healthy. He gets re-injured. Jalen Johnson thought he was healthy. He gets re-injured.
Yeah, Kyler re-injured, all of that.
And a lot of people have said, oh, well, the Bears training staff. Ben Johnson this week gave you an indication of what goes on in a player's mind when, especially, keep in mind, these are guys who haven't been part of a winning Bears team.
Right.
Can you blame Kyler Gordon for wanting to push himself?
Right.
Can you blame Jalen Johnson for wanting to push himself?
But there is also the, hey, we need to save them from themselves type aspect to this.
Which is what he said about Rome.
Right.
And just
which is why I was like, he's not playing this week. He might not play.
And that's part of it for me is understanding that guys will tell you they're ready to go. Even when they're not, because that's the nature. Players want to play. Like, players are wired to win. They want to play. I think that's a fair assessment, right?
Yes.
Conversely, can I hit you with the Packers? So, the DMPs did not practice for today. Josh Jacobs, who everybody swears was limping around the locker room.
Yeah, he's been dealing with some stuff.
His knee, he did not practice again today. Evan Williams did not practice
today.
Doesn't
look like he's going to go.
The run stopping safety. Zach Tom did not practice today.
Doesn't look like he's going to go.
And then Josh Wiley is still in concussion protocol.
Yeah. They did get Christian Watson back to practice. So it does seem like Christian Watson will play. Jaden Reed missed one day of practice this week, but he's back. The one that concerns me, obviously, for the Packers, if you're a Packers fan, is Josh Jacobs. I think Zach Tom,
are you kidding? That's the only way the Bears are tackling him. Apparently
it's probably true.
Third and one run sticks in my head, guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, and then was there anything on the Packers? Like, I got to go look it up because apparently the Packers media at practice did not see Kingsley and Igbari.
Yeah, but he hasn't been on the injury report, so I don't know.
Okay, so maybe that was
the
just,
actual
he wasn't
injury
out
report
there
isn't
during...
out yet, but those are people who just did not practice today.
Yeah, okay.
So this time of year leads itself to fun with injury reports, and this is the first time in a long time that we've had to have it be consequential to a Bears team trying to work on a postseason run.
Luther Burden is the one that really concerns me for the Bears just because of what he was able to do. Even in that Browns game, like, his yards after catch ability is incredible. Like, he had, I don't have the numbers offhand, but we talked about it right after the game on the Chicago Football Show, where like not only did he have a ton of yards after the catch, but he had yards after the catch over expectation. So even on plays like NGS, you can say like, all right, well, given the defender was here and this, that, the other, they're like, all right, this is how many yards after the catch you should have gotten on that play. He was getting even more than that.
The only thing that really gives me solace, and I guess it's not the only thing, the things that do give me solace about the potential of the passing game without Roma Dunze and now Luther Burden III are the fact that they have developed Colston Loveland to the level that they have. Cole Kmet is playing also at a very high level. And DJ Moore is coming off his best game of the season, his most active game of the season. And the other thing, the X factor for me is, go back to early in the season. Go back to training camp. the safety blanket, even though he wasn't the blankie, according to Ben Johnson, was Olamide Zaccheaus. He can now reemerge here and be a guy.
I debate Ben Johnson on that one. I
think because you thought it was Zaccheaus, right?
I think Caleb's blankie is Zaccheaus. Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. He went through a couple game stretch in the middle of the season where he had some just horrific drops.
It's also like, oh. And Coach Wanstead, who said this on the post game show on Marquee, really made a good point when he talked about the reason why Caleb Williams, for example, was able to throw that insane throw to DJ Moore, the 22-yard touchdown pass, and why he was more targeted in the game this past Sunday. It wasn't just because of the plan. It was also because Caleb Williams, with Myles Garrett on his left side, was rolling out to his right a lot, and DJ was in his vision.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a big part of this, too. Are the primary reads for Olamide Zaccheaus with, you know, Rashawn Gary's going to be over on that side typically. At least that's what we saw in the game against the Packers the last time. That may change
right
now with no Micah Parsons. No Micah. But I think that's going to affect whoever is on which side as to how much we're going to see Caleb Williams target that receiver.
Well, and I think that also then falls to Ben Johnson to put DJ Moore within that line of vision. When you see that happening, then call it accordingly. And I think that Ben's really good, especially at halftime adjustments, right? Like we saw it in that Packers game 2 weeks ago where the Bears looked horrendous in the first half. But then that second half, you saw a lot, and there was a lot of adjustments, what seemingly a lot of adjustments, where Caleb was on the run a lot more, rolling out a lot more, trying to get away from Micah Parsons. But it worked, and it was, I think, I'll do a lot to the adjustments that Ben Johnson made at halftime.
He also had multiple layers, too, because yes, there were times where on like the 40-yarder to Luther Burden, DJ was running around that backside of the formation. He ran across the formation, so you had layers of people open at different spots on the field to help with that. Coming up next here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score with Carmen Vitale in studio. Ray, how do you describe what we have for everybody coming up next?
Yeah, so it was revealed by Monday Night Football analyst, ESPN, I'm sorry, not analyst, but play-by-play announcer Joe Buck, that do you guys remember the Commanders game? There was a production meeting that Caleb Williams never showed up to. Well, it wasn't the first time, according to Joe Buck.
Woof. All right, well, we'll get some details about that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. Raheem Harris and Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Carmen Vitale joining us in studio, the Fox Sports Radio host, analyst for the Marquee Sports Network, and that is the song Deja Vu by Olivia Rodrigo.
I'm glad you knew that because I didn't.
I hate my brain sometimes.
That's what that music is I'm listening to right now?
The things that I can hear off the top of my head. Yeah, that's Deja Vu. Tyler knew. Tyler Ferris.
That's all that matters is that Tyler knows.
Baby T knew.
See, here I am trying to call you by your proper name, and you just want to go by your street name, which is fine by me.
Layla.
Baby T.
Baby T. Let him cook.
Is that because you're
Let
so
Baby
young?
T cook.
He's so young.
He is young. He's
well, there's two Tylers, and it was just he's younger than the other Tyler.
Ah, so okay. Yeah.
Baby T. It is. This information from Jimmy Traina, his podcast SI Media with Jimmy Traina, he had Joe Buck on, and the production and Joe Buck said that the production meeting that Bears quarterback Caleb Williams blew off before the Week 6 game against the Commanders was not the first one that he missed this past season.
Now we had them Week 1, and so we had already been through that where You know, these meetings are all set up on their time. That's right. Kind of the beauty of it. I think when we were just talking about the difference between in person and on Zoom, if you do it on Zoom, you can go to the PR director. Hey, whenever it works for you guys, and we've had them sometimes where they're spread out and we're sitting there for an hour at different slots in the same day for the same team. And it's just like, hey, we understand you guys are busy. You're preparing for a game. The last thing you probably want to do is talk to us. It's kind of part of the drill. But we will do it when it works for you on your schedule. And so we had that same issue week one with Caleb, and then we had it again. And then, you know, I guess he brought it up saying, well, I didn't talk to Troy before the game, but we sat on a Zoom waiting forever and he just never came. So, you know, I don't know what else we can do.
Right. He made the implication that, like, Troy didn't show up for a meeting.
That's the part that bothered me the most. It's like, whoa. This was on your guys' schedule. And we sat there and, you know, we'd had it happen twice within the first 6 or 7 weeks. And it's, you know, whatever.
Somebody got some splaining to do.
It was twice within a month.
That is bad. That is all out bad. And see, I didn't know the back end of the explanation because I thought, like he said, Caleb made it sound like, yeah, these guys didn't get a hold of me.
Yeah, he said that he didn't have time early because I was there for this. And he said he didn't have time early. So he tried to call Troy back later, like after, like the day was over, and Troy didn't answer. And I'm like, well, I'm Troy Aikman. Like, I've got my own stuff to do. And if I just sat on a Zoom,
phone call, Zoom.
Right.
This isn't people who have all day to wait.
I'll peel back the curtain a little bit because, you know, I worked for a team. I didn't work in PR, but I was the staff writer for the Buccaneers, which was essentially an extension of PR at that point because I couldn't be critical and I didn't have autonomy, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so I very intimately familiar with how things work from a PR perspective when you have these big games coming in town. I mean, it works like this every week where, and this was back when the production crews traveled no matter what, and they came to the facility for that, like, they were out there for the last day of practice and they watched practice, and then after practice they'd meet with the coaches, the quarterback, any of the really like impact players on the team. And, you know, usually there's like a catered like lunch and it's all done really nicely and whatever. And that's morphed since, you know, COVID and everything, where everything had to be Zoom. And then people real, like Joe Buck mentioned it, like there are pros to it doing on being on Zoom, because then you can really fit into these guys' schedule. And this is very, very common. I mean, I my entire time with 6 years with the Bucks, I don't think the quarterback ever missed a production meeting, much less also, by the way, this is ESPN. This is Monday Night Football. This is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Like, these are the guys. Like, not to say that it's more defensible if you blow off, like, you know, the C team or whatever, but blowing off ESPN it doesn't happen. Like, this is not a common occurrence. This is not, I want to make sure that people understand, like, this is a very common thing in the NFL where it's very regimented. Every team does it. Every quarterback talks to the broadcast crew prior to the game. And this is nothing new. And to have a quarterback miss two
in the span of a month
with ESPN, with Monday Night Football. You are lucky enough to be on Monday Night Football twice in a month. And
I want to pause right here is because we're getting a lot of pushback. People are like, who cares? It doesn't matter. Here's why it matters. Because people are up in arms anytime Troy Aikman says, oh, Caleb Williams had an opportunity here to make X throw, receiver has to adjust. And then it became a massive issue to the point where the Bears talked about it.
Right. They did. They were like, oh, yeah, he did sound like he hated us.
Fans said that as well.
Right.
And it's in everyone's best interest to portray people in the most appropriate light, the most accurate one.
Right.
So when people are like, oh, when does this matter? Who cares? The NFL wants it to matter. There's a reason it's part of what the NFL wants people to do.
Well,
they are in business with ESPN and their broadcasters, and they want the best broadcast that they have on TV. It's not just us.
Right.
Like, I watch the games regardless. Like, I'm watching, I have my own opinion. I don't speak for them. They don't have my job, and vice versa. But the reason it matters is what we're trying to tell you.
Well, and also, like, either you want journalistic standards and you want access and you want information and you want to know, you know, and to get all of the color around the league, or you don't. And if you want it, which the NFL has said it does, clearly, because there are rules, there are regulations for the amount of media that coaches and players have to do per week. There's all sorts of regulations for this to allow for access, and setting a precedent of like, well, you'll get access if we give you access is not a precedent you want to set in sports in the larger media sense. I mean, it does. It matters. Like, this is what, there's an entire industry that revolves around this and these kinds of interactions and getting out information.
It's also just standard practice for the rest of the league.
Correct.
The Bears are not special in this respect.
This is a basic, and I do mean basic, level of professionalism that you come to expect from anybody in the NFL. This is not,
and this is, that's
you
what
understand, when players don't make themselves available in the locker room postgame, you can be fined for that.
Also, you want your quarterback, who is the face of your franchise, to have a level of professionalism, to be a good steward of that franchise. Do you not?
You would think, but I get the fans who are that some of them are funny, because like 219 says Caleb knows who signs his paycheck. George McCaskey hates Joe Buck, so Caleb is doing it to make Joe Buck mad. But George loves it. I like the humor.
That would make it funny. Yeah.
But I also, I mean, there's another part of this where it's like this doesn't all fall on Caleb to show up for those meetings. There are people.
Zoom meeting.
I'm just laughing.
That's the thing. It could not be easier.
312 is like, no one but you guys care. Well, Joe Buck just said he cared. So
also I sat in that press conference where everybody talked about how unfair Troy was being to Caleb, and then that the Bears are talking about it and this, that, the other. And I'm not saying it's right that Troy takes that out on, you know, like when he's on air about like Caleb's play, but it's so easy, like you said, to do the bare minimum to ensure unbiased coverage.
Yes. Also,
you can do more to have favorable coverage.
Here's one thing I'm certain of: after the 10-4 Bears get done with the season, whatever their record may be, end up being, whether it's 13-4 or 10-7, they will be on Monday Night Football again next season.
Yeah,
I am certain of that.
Yeah, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman aren't going anywhere.
They surely are not.
Well, and for everybody who's like, oh, well, he said all this stuff. Well, we're trying to explain to you why, and then you're like, oh, the media is saying something. Why are they caring? I can't listen to this. Like, no. Don't be a bad search engine. Listen to actual words and context, and then you'll understand why you can't answer your own question.
And I think it was valid for what Joe Buck said, where he's like, listen, I didn't really... The thing that bothered me was that it, like...
He made it sound like I blew him off.
Right, he made it sound like we blew him off, and that's just not true. It's just objectively not true.
Yeah, I would want to set the record straight also.
100%.
Yeah, so I don't mind that Joe Buck said that on the Train of Podcast, and it's worth discussion. So, and for people who are upset because we're talking about this during Bears Packers week, I don't care. It matters. A lot of things matter, including the game. And would you rather talk about how Rhuma Dunze and Luther Burden are out 7:08? Tell me what you think is supposed to happen there that makes you feel better about Saturday. Let me know.
Don't feel great about Saturday.
I was saying, well,
just you know,
Packers fans are going into this. You tell me how you game plan.
Packers fans are also not going into this game very optimistic. Right. I mean, they just lost Micah Parsons.
You're right,
and they could be without Evan Williams, who again is a huge factor in that defense as well. And yeah, Christian Watson could be out there in a limited capacity because he's still dealing with that, even though he was back at practice. So like. I mean, the Packers' chances go drastically down if Christian Watson isn't effective in this game, by the way.
Fair.
I mean, that's it. It may hinge for them on Christian Watson being successful.
The Packers, their defense is a top five defense at this point, and that worries me for the Bears, in the Bears' sense of, like, they're going to need to run on these guys, and it's not easy to run on these guys. Also, the Packers are allowing the second fewest yards on play action under center plays, which is the bulk of this Bears offense right now, is play action under center throws, and there's only one team that's allowing less than the Packers are.
It's that part. Like, that's the stressful part.
Like, the things that the Bears becomes. Do well offensively is the things that the Packers defense does well defensively.
Huh, it's almost like they game planned for it in strength some on way. Strength. Interesting. Like, they knew they would see this opponent twice a year, and this seemed like a good way to neutralize.
It's going to come down to the coaching, I think. It's going to come down to how Jeff Hafley adjusts for Micah Parsons' loss, and it's going to come down to, can Ben Johnson put DJ Moore in Caleb Williams' vision often enough to get him going again?
Bingo. Carmen Vitale, we love having you on. It's been a fun hour with twists and turns.
Yeah, I think this was like, wow. I went in expecting one thing, I got another, and I love it, guys. Well, I'm glad we were on this ride together.
Thank you for riding.
At least you got to hear and commentate on the Kirk Cousins stuff, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard that quote, please go, because it's awesome. I hope more quarterbacks take note of that, and coaches for that matter, and try to educate, because it's fun.
Yeah, you're not giving away anything.
No.
Believe it or not, no, you still not. Have to actually go out there and play. So, Carmen, we appreciate the time. If you want to see more of Carmen Vitale, you can find her on Marquee Sports Network and on Fox Sports Radio on Saturdays. And in the meantime, we'll talk to Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.